Okay, so we are continuing on our series titled Like a Tree. If you're new here, we've been on a series that at the end is going to be about 10 messages, all revolving around one psalm, one passage of scripture, the very first psalm of the Bible, Psalm 1. And see, I got the gear on today. And the reason why we have taken the time to focus on this particular psalm is because the imagery is sort of like this universal picture that God has given to all mankind. And a simple child can understand this, the most intellectual can drill down on this and get so much out of it. God wants us to live our lives like a tree, like a spiritual tree. And we've been learning all sorts of things about that, and we've been memorizing Psalm 1, and we've been reading it every time. I can't believe this is week 7. We've read Psalm 1, at least the first 3 verses, every single time. We're going to do that again, but I'm going to throw a little bit of a curveball at you because we've read the same translation each time. I'm going to put up a different translation. But look at me for a second, because I may as well take the opportunity to explain something to you. So the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in the Greek. So when they talk about a Bible translation, it's because you couldn't read it in English unless it was translated, okay? And there are many different translations. When you read the Bible, make sure that you're reading a translation, not a paraphrase, okay? Because a paraphrase is one person's opinion of what this kind of means, where a translation is making a very specific attempt to translate the Bible. Now, there's 2 kinds of translation. Forgive me for getting so technical, but you may as well know this. So there's 2 kinds of translation. There's what they call dynamic, and then there's what they call equivalent. A dynamic translation is when they translate what the original writers meant rather than what they were saying specifically. For example, we have sayings today, you know, like I heard, what is that thing that the kids are saying? 6-7? What in the world does 6-7 mean? Right? So, but you know, we have all of these different sayings that go with each generation. So when they translate, they might take something that meant something at that time 2,000 years ago, they translate so that we understand it. You understand? So sometimes it's just the general meaning or the true meaning, but the general meaning. Sometimes it's an equivalent where they're actually saying, this word means this. So I read different translations. I read the NIV, the GNT, right now I'm reading the ESV. I know this is way too much information, but I'm your pastor and I'm going to tell you. Because I want you to know. Because when people say, you know, the people are so simple, say, no, not my people. My people are not dummies. They're smart. They're intellectual. So anyway, one of the things that I'm reading the ESV right now, I tend to change when I start to predict. I've been reading the Bible for 40 years, so when I start to predict the next line, I change the translation. This is a translation I'm about to read that is from a Jewish scholar. So this guy didn't translate anything in the New Testament because he didn't believe that. This is a pure Jewish scholar. I have a lot of different books. But I think there's something really good about the mindset, the Hebrew mindset, as we think about Psalm 1 today. So sorry for the long intro, but you know, when you're the pastor, you get to do stuff. So that's one of the things I get to do. And so here we go. We're going to read this together. It's a little choppy, so let's stick with it. Ready? So here we go. Happy the man who has not walked in the wicked's counsel, nor in the way of offenders has stood, nor in the session of scoffers has sat. But the Lord's teaching is his desire, and his teaching he murmurs day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by streams of water that bears its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Could we praise God for the reading of his word? Okay, let me tell you a couple quick things that are interesting about this. Again, this is when the Bible was originally written, the Hebrew mindset. I love a couple things. The fact that it says, has not walked, right, nor in the way has stood, right, or has sat, because it's talking about the wisdom of not engaging in evil. Right? It's talking about the blessing that comes. By the way, the word blessed means happy. Now, the American word or the culture word for happy means lucky happenings. The biblical word for happy means that you've been blessed by the Most High God. Okay? So it says, happy is the man who has not walked, who hasn't followed the nonsense of this world. You see? What really jumped out to me was, nor in the session of scoffers. There's a lot of sessions going on. You see, some people, you ever see a couple people, they're having a session, and you're like, that is not a good session. Right? Stay out of the wrong sessions. Right? It's a very, very important thing, super, super powerful. But here's the thing before we go on to the message. It says, his teaching, he murmurs day and night. He murmurs. So in the Jewish culture, really, they don't necessarily read the Bible. They always read the Bible out loud. So you might see someone from the Jewish tradition who's like maybe reading on the plane or even at the airport. Part of the way they read is, even if it's low, they're going, happy is the man. Happy is the man who has not walked in the wicked's counsel. Happy is the man who's not walked in the wicked's counsel. Make me a happy man. I don't want to walk in the wicked's counsel. God, show me where that session is, because I want to avoid it. You see, and they say it out loud to themselves. So when the Bible says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and not in his law, he meditates. Murmuring is meditating. You see? And so you're saying it to yourself. You're reading it to yourself. A lot of times people don't get the release of the power of the word of God because they're not meditating. They're not murmuring. If you go home right now, you go, okay, happy is the man who has not walked in counsel of wicked. Okay, moving on to the next thing. You're not getting the power that God wants to release into your soul. How many, we've got to meditate day and night. How many want to meditate day and night and become like a tree? Now, what's unique about all of the different translations is, even though they say certain things differently, which all are pointing towards the same thing, but the interesting thing is they all say like a tree. All of them say like a tree. That is the one that every translation says. That person is, everyone, like a tree. You see? Because God wants you and I to live like a tree. So now let's look at that today, because it really speaks to something very powerful about the call of God upon our lives. God wants us to be like a tree. Now, we've been analyzing the life of a tree, and we know a tree lives in two places. There's your life below ground. We call that the realm of meditation, your life with God that no one sees. So when you're reading the Bible, when you're reading the Bible to yourself, when you're murmuring, when you're delighting, whatever, that's just you and God. And it's wonderful. And you could be walking in the airport. You know, I'm traveling too much because I keep talking about airports. You could be walking in the park. You could be waiting online. Whatever it is that you're doing, you could be reciting the word of God. It could be going over. You want to break depression? You want to break discouragement? Recite the word of God over and over and over again. You and Jesus will release power and fire into your life. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Go home and engage with the word of God. Murmur the word of God. Delight, meditate on the word of God. Very, very powerful. Now that's just you and Jesus. And listen, we've been saying this, the journey of blessing begins below ground. If you really want to be blessed, it's you and Jesus. But then up out of the ground comes the tree. Okay? To do what? To offer fruit to the world. This is called the realm of service. Last week we talked about the greatest among you will be the servant of all. This is your life with God that everyone sees. Every child of God should see themselves as a servant. Who do you serve? I serve Jesus. Who do you serve? You see, we are all called to be servants of the Most High God of Jesus Christ. And we know that the journey of greatness is found through service. We talked about that last week. But here's something interesting. Between your roots and your fruits, there's a trunk. You know, every tree has a trunk, right? What does the trunk do? The trunk holds everything up. The trunk connects the private to the public. It's like one thing that flows from down here all the way up to the top. And if you want to be in the same way every, kind of organic tree has to have a trunk, every spiritual walking tree, because we're walking trees, we need a trunk too. Okay? But the question is, what is the trunk of a Christian? And let me just say this. Without this trunk, you have no strength. This trunk is the strength of the tree above ground. This trunk is what holds everything up for the tree. You see? This trunk is what enables the tree to stand the harsh storms of life. So, what is that strength? You ready? It's love. Love is the trunk of our lives. Love is meant to be the strength of our lives. The title of the message today is Your Strength. Brothers and sisters, what is your strength today? I would say to you that God wants His love to be your strength. Come on, somebody say amen to that. Why? Why is love our strength? Okay, I want to say this before we pray because I want you to fully understand this. Love is our strength because God's love holds up everything. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. How many know if it wasn't for the love of God, nobody would be here? You see, it's because God is fundamentally loving and kind and generous towards us. It's the love of God that holds everything up. And look, this is what's really powerful. You want to talk about strong? You can break God's heart, but you can't break His love. No matter what you do, God won't stop loving you. No matter what you engage in, you cannot break the love of God. Love is the strength of who He is. God is love. And when you and I get full of the love of God, then we get strong too. This is incredible. Look, Victor Hugo put it this way. He said, the greatest happiness of life is the conviction that we are loved. Loved for ourselves, or rather loved in spite of ourselves. See, this is what makes Christianity wonderful, is that we know that God loves us despite us. If God didn't love us despite us, then we would be messed up. You see, how do you have peace if you're always performing, hoping to be accepted? But we are accepted because of what Christ has done. Hallelujah. How many are thankful for His loving sacrifice? On your worst day, on my worst day, He still loves us with an everlasting love. You see? And because the love of God holds everything up, God, that literally is is what keeps everything going. It's because of God's love, brothers and sisters. Then it should be the same for us. Let me show you one more thing before we pray. Let me show you how Jesus spoke to this. Teacher, somebody came to Jesus and they said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment." And everybody say, "And." And a second is like it. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Okay, if you can follow these two commandments, you'll do all things well. Now watch this. Like a tree, you love God in private. You attach, what do we say? Attach and flow. So below ground, you love God. You attach to Christ, okay? And then because you attach to Christ above ground, that love that takes place between you and God, it turns you into a servant. And it gives you this strong trunk that enables you to reach out to the world and love your neighbor as yourself. This is incredible. This tells you, just like a tree, right here, the strength of our lives is love. And I want you to know, without love, your life might look impressive, but it will not be healthy. It's impossible to be privately healthy without love in your heart. Without love, you can have branches, but you'll have no real life because you're not really reaching out to anyone. Branches reach out for a purpose. Without love, you have lots of activity, but there will be no fruitfulness. This is very, very important, very, very powerful. To belittle love is to belittle God. Why? Because God is love. And so this is such a very powerful truth. It's such a powerful principle that to be good in God is to be full of the love of God from down below all the way to your public life. God wants to strengthen you and me so that we will be just like a tree, open and upright, reaching out saying, "Here, I want to feed you, I want to serve you, I want to help you." So I want to pray for strength, but I want to make sure that we're praying for what really makes us strong. See, what really makes us strong is the love of the Lord. And the remarkable thing is that when you're full of the love of the Lord, what did Jesus mean by these two things, you fulfill all the law? I'll tell you what it means is that when you're really full of love, it just guides you in the heart of God. And it makes everything better, right? It makes everything blessed. So let's pray right now. You see, look, if you have a wound in your heart, maybe your heart has been injured. Your spirit has been injured, okay? I'm so sorry that that's where you find yourself today. But I want to encourage you, the love of God can heal you. The love of God can restore your soul. You know, the love of God can build you up. You and Jesus is more than enough for your wholeness and your freedom. So come on, let's lift our hands and let's pray. Father, we thank you that we're found in your house today. We thank you for your wonderful word. Your word is life. Your word is freedom and light. And God, I pray that the power of your word would be released into every heart and into every mind. God, feed us, oh God. Strengthen us today with your love. Make us like trees. I pray for injured souls today. I pray for injured minds today. God, by your mighty power, strengthen us with your love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Build us up from the inside out with your love. So we thank you. Bless this word, Lord. Make us stronger, Lord, because of your love. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It's incredible how love bridges the space between your private life and your public life. Okay, so there's a couple takeaways about the love of God so that you could keep praying into this. Since God's love holds everything up, God's love holds you and me up. You see? So when you're really healthy in God, you're held up by the love of God. When you're really healthy in God, you're less competitive. You're less combative. You're less needy for recognition. Because you're strengthened by someone else somewhere else. You're getting what you need in the private place. And so you can stand strong. It's a very, very powerful, wonderful thing. You know, love is what really holds up the gifts we want to offer to the world. Love is what gives weight to your words. You ever heard that saying, don't tell me how much you know until I know how much you care? It's a principle of life. And so love is everything. Now, here's the thing that blows me away as I've been studying trees. Because remember, it's a earthly, like natural, organic illustration. But God said, I want you to be spiritually like a tree. So check this out. It turns out that all trees have something called heartwood. So when you go out to buy a t-shirt, you're going to see different branches that were cut, and you're gonna see like there's this dark spot inside of the tree. It's this dense inner ring of wood inside of the trunk. Okay, it's like this unseen strength, right? In some tree species, heartwood is considered to be as strong as steel. So when the Bible says, right, whose leaf does not wither. When the Bible talks about a tree enduring the storms, think about how storms can knock down buildings and the trees are standing. You know why? It's because of the heartwood of that tree. And when God puts heartwood inside of you and me, when he puts the strength of his love inside, we can endure the storms of life. It doesn't matter what hits you from the outside. How many know we can stand? We can stand. We can stand. Because of the strong and powerful love of God. Just a remarkable thing. And you look at the great people in history, they all had this heartwood. If they were really great. You see? It turns out a 12-inch length of a trunk, 12 inches, 1 foot, 2 inches across can support up to 20 tons. When God said, be like a tree, he said, be like a tree with heartwood on the inside. Okay? The kind of strength that will make you stand at all times. It's an incredible thing how when a person is really full of the love of God, they're like unshakable. They're like immovable. You know? And God wants to keep growing our trunk. So just to give you a prayer target, okay, I have a picture of the widest trunk in the world, okay? Come on. Now that is a trunk, ladies and gentlemen, right? So this is in Mexico. I don't have the exact numbers on it, But when people see you, wouldn't it be great if they saw your heart like this big, giant trunk? Right? When the Bible says that person, that woman, that young lady, that young man is like a tree. This big, strong trunk. How do you know? It's because love is holding up that life. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise God for that truth. In the world, we're strong because we have a sharp mouth and we could put people off quickly. That's not strong. That's weak. You see, cancel culture is a sign of weakness. Love is a sign of strength. Hallelujah. Here's another very interesting thing about love and strength. So when love holds you up, it's real strength instead of superficial strength. Some people don't really know what love is. Some people have love mixed up. So let me give you just a, I mean, we could talk about this for 10 hours. But look at this. Look at what the Bible says here. It says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So look, you can't protect, you can't really trust, you can't really hope, and you can't really persevere biblically and correctly without the truth. So love doesn't overlook the truth. Like, look, everybody knows somebody in your circle, right? Everybody, let's personalize it. Somewhere in your family is a guy who's a scoundrel. And he's like 38 years old. And he's a scoundrel. But if you talk to his mother, she's always like, bendito. Leave him alone, he's still growing. No. He's gonna get there. He stole your car, your TV. He's a good boy. How many know that's not a good boy? But see, that's not love. You see, real love is always built off of the truth. And that's why God has to put us in rooms where we could be loving but always stand for the truth. You're like, well, I want to be a loving Christian so I don't say anything ever negative. That's not love. You see? Because only the truth will set someone free. Can I tell you something? You can't have a healthy marriage if you don't tell the truth. You got to find a way to say it really nice. But you have to build your marriage on truth. Kids who are told the truth grow up to be stronger. You see, so love, it's not superficial, it's not artificial. Love actually makes us strong because it's built on the truth. You see, what I'm talking about surpasses public opinion. It surpasses political opinion, you know? It looks higher. So some of us, we're in the room, and depending on what room you're in, people are taking all these positions, and you want to be loved by them. But just know, if you don't find a way, in the right way, to tell the truth, you're not loving them. You see, Christians are unique because no matter where you find yourself in this coming week, you're called to stand for God. Come on, how many want to stand strong for Jesus? And let me tell you something, to love Jesus is to share Jesus. And to love someone else is to share Jesus with them. That's what this is all about. As opposed to saying, well, I don't want to ruffle anyone's feathers. You can be nice and be honest. You know what the key is? Love. The Bible says love is the most excellent way. The second thing about love is love is the flow that creates God moments. If you listen, if you go back into this series, you attach in private, you flow in public. If they could send me a keyboard player. Everybody say attach and flow. Christianity is built on no effort other than your efforts are to attach. You know? Because no, you put your ear close up to a tree, you'll never hear a tree going, ah, to try to bear fruit. It's just flow. You see? So what is our effort? Our effort is to attach to God. I just want to be close to you, Lord. I just want to be full of your word, Lord. God, I worship you, Lord. I want to remain in you, Lord. Wherever I am, I want to be communing with you. And that's it. That's the effort. That's the energy that you put. And then when you do that, guess what starts to happen? His love starts to flow through you. Now, here's the interesting thing. Okay. How many people want to be like a tree? Let me see your hands. Let me see if you want to. Okay. Raise it nice and high. Okay. So here's the thing. If you say, I want to be like a tree, you have accepted the call to ministry. Because trees are servants. You know what? Minister means servant. And so a tree is upright and open, and a tree serves. So you and I, we're called to minister in our home. We're called to minister in the workplace. We're called to minister in the church, minister in the community. We're called to share the gospel. We're called to help someone else grow in the Lord. That's what a minister is. But the thing is that what happens is as you get full of the love of God, you have these God moments. All of the miracles of the Bible, when you see Jesus doing miracles, very, very often before he did the miracle, the Bible goes on to say Jesus had compassion for them, or Jesus felt love for them, right? Jesus was moved. Jesus wept. Why? It's because the flow of love through you creates, releases the anointing of God. When you're flowing in love, the power of God is flowing through you. When you're flowing in love, miracles start to happen. You're like, what happened? I don't know what happened. The love of God was flowing through you. How many know where God's love flows? Miracles happen, brothers and sisters. That's an anointed life. To be anointed is to really walk in the love of God. I remember Pastor Simba telling me early on, you know, Aleph, you want to preach good sermons. I found that God helps me to preach good sermons when I pray for the people. He said, if you pray for the people, God gives you everything that you need for the people. Instead of saying, let me preach a good sermon so I have more Instagram followers. You know, say no, Lord. Maybe there's a marriage that's struggling today. And if some, just a heart receiving that. Maybe there's a young man who's grown bitter. And he's stuck in his life and he doesn't realize he's stuck. Because he's just so angry on the inside. How many know God can lift that anger and set that anger free? Hallelujah. But words coming out of your mouth, love coming out of your life, you picking up the bag, you know, for that lady, for stopping and helping someone. That love flowing out of you, it becomes powerful. It becomes transformational. You know, you can't be supernatural except in a very natural way. How do you do that? Love. If you want the supernatural life, get filled with love. Then, you know, amazing things. You know, even in honor of Memorial Day, I want to give you a real, I think, a very special military example of this. So, this picture here, this guy, Jacob DeShazar, I don't know how to say his name, but he was a pilot in the Air Force for World War II. He was part of the Doolittle Raid on Japan in 1942. They were retaliating for Pearl Harbor. They're like, oh, you hit us, we're gonna hit you back. And so when he went on a bombing raid, I guess, he was shot down somehow, but either way, he survived, but he was captured. And when he was captured, he was put into one of those camps, a prisoner of war camp. And those camps were horrible. In fact, if you read the book, I read the book Unbroken, The Life of Louis Zamperini. They made it a movie and all that. They showed how the American soldiers were tortured in these camps. It's horrible, right? But anyway, when the war was over, they let him go. Before the war was over, I have no idea how this happened, but this is why this moment is so important. Because while he was in this camp, somebody gave him a Bible. Now, how does a Bible get into one of these camps of an atheistic nation? Like everything is closed, but how many know God always makes a way for the gospel to go forth in power? And right now, the way he makes a way is through you. You're in that room because God wants to use you somehow to bring the gospel. So anyway, this guy gets saved in the prison camp. So after he gets saved, he goes back, he goes to school, and he becomes a missionary. Then after he becomes a missionary, he goes back to Japan. And when he goes to Japan, he finds this guy. This was Mitsuo Fuchida. Hope I got that right. It turns out that this guy was the general lieutenant commander who was in charge of the camp where he was tortured. So he finds him and he shares the love of Jesus with him. And this guy said, I could not believe, after all the things that we did to him, that he had no sense of bitterness or unforgiveness, no spirit of revenge was inside of him. And because all I could feel from him was love, I had to put my faith in his God. And he accepted Jesus. Hallelujah. But listen, he became an evangelist and led so many Japanese people to the Lord. Hallelujah. Could we praise God for the power of his love? Hallelujah. All because of the strength of love. See? So this is the both of them in a picture. Only God. What a God, what a God. Right? What a God, what a God. Only Jesus can take enemies and make them brothers. Because of his love. only Jesus can take the oppressed and the oppressor and make them family because of his love. Is not love the strength that this world needs? Doesn't Chicago, doesn't Washington, D.C. need the love of Jesus? You see, love is the most excellent way. Love is the higher place. Love is powerful. Love is God. God is love. Look at what the Bible says here. Almost done. The Bible says, above all, put on love, which binds everything together in unity. So it's so funny. Not only does it bind everything together up and down, but it binds everything together this way. You know? When I first started going to church, you've heard me tell this story. I'll tell this for the next 100 years. I walked into a church. I was a kid from the hood. I didn't know much about God. I got saved, but I had no clue what was going on. I was brokenhearted. I sat like right over there. The worship went on. I didn't sing a thing, okay? I was one of those people. You know when everybody's singing, somebody's like this? I understand you. That was me one day, right? And the worship service was over. They said, greet one another. And a guy moves out of his seat. I know his name. His name was Paul. He moves out of his seat, walks over to me. And he goes, I'm so happy you came, brother. And I was like. He hugged me. And when he hugged me, love came out of him. Hallelujah. I sat in that chair. And I cried for the next 45 minutes. And I poured out my broken heart to the Lord without even understanding what was going on. You know, we always pray. We pray this since day one. Lord, when people cross the threshold, may they feel the love of Jesus in this house. How many agree? May they feel the love of Christ in this place. But it's not just his presence, is through his people. You want a strong church? What's a strong church? A church? Strong church is a church that really loves God, really loves his word, and really loves people. Right? That's what a strong church is. Right? Every tribe, every tongue, every nation here. Right? Come one, come all. How many would agree with me? Come one, come all. Hallelujah. Why? Because of the great love of God. So look, I'll close with this. This is just to finish out. Sometimes you see a tree, right? And you see the trunk and then you see all this stuff. But what's really, there's something like going through it. The trunk. There's something flowing through it, right? You attach in private, below ground. And then you love God, you serve God. You serve God's people, you love God's people. You love God, your trunk gets wider and wider. You love God, you serve God. You serve his people, you love God's people. We say love and serve. And why? Because that is the strength of the call of God upon our lives. I'm going to tell you right now, some people don't get the real breakthrough and blessing of their life because above ground, they never actually love and serve on a consistent basis. But when we love and when we serve, I'm telling you, the blessing of God flows to you. The blessing of God flows.